Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
The world has changed. Are you still trying to reach people the same way? If you are, you're like most people. And unfortunately, you're going to be left behind. This is why at the Igniting Souls Conference 2022, we are taking an absolute deep dive and showing authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers how to leverage the new internet to grow their book, brand, and business. All the information is at ignitingsoulsconference.com. Get your ticket today because there are limited seats. And right now, it's the super early bird. Hope to see you there. Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to another episode of Blockchain Life. Stick around for an exciting announcement at the very end about some very cool things related to artificial intelligence. Super cool. But right now we have a fantastic interview with my new friend, Nadav. Nadav, tell us your full name. I think it's just Nadav Zamir.
Yeah, well, it should be Zimer, but it's Zemmer because we were in Israel for a while and they don't use vowels.
I messed up. Zemmer. All right.
It's perfect. Well,
I love it. So talk to us a little bit about yourself, your journey into blockchain. We're excited to learn more.
Yeah. I'm a recently retired high school principal. Last February, I retired from since 2003. So, you know, almost 20 years of service. And I worked in low-income schools and school second chance high schools as a principal. You said my full name. People call me Z.
Z. Makes it easy. It.
Yeah. Or Principal Z when I was a principal. And so I grew up in the Waldorf schools, though.
Okay.
And then I went to public high school. And so I saw that there are going to be kids that get proper education that's designed the way our brains are meant to learn. And then there are kids that don't in a lot of our public schools because of the kind of oppression of standardized tests and everything's teaching to a test rather than teaching to life experience or teaching to our values or teaching to, you know, our humanity. And sure. It makes sense because in industrial times we needed robots because we hadn't had those yet. So we needed to have kids check their humanity at the door and to practice doing that and to sit in rows and do what they're told, right? That was important to make money. But now we have robots and now we have this digital age where self-expression, everybody can find out their purpose and self-expression. That's what's going to work best in this digitally connected world, right? That's how you're going to make money, by producing content rather than consuming content, having something to say, having something you're up to, having something you care about. Those are things that we really want our citizens to have as voters, as consumers, right? And so it's just a shift from an old way that worked very well and taught everybody how to read and write to now things are changing quickly. And imagine if our education led the way. Imagine if our kids, when they graduate high school, said that was such a moving experience. And then in their 30s, they said, wow, that stuff I learned in high school, I get it. I get why they gave me all that. I'm ready, right? And we want lifelong learners, kids that are going to be learning their whole life because they love it, because that's how we are as babies. That's how we should continue to be our whole lives. That's how we were designed to be, right? That dopamine opioid cycle in your brain.
Yeah.
People take drugs now, but really what that is learning. When a baby learns new things, that gives them the motivation to get excited and keep trying. And we're built to learn. So this is coming back to very ancient ways of teaching and learning, coming back to ways that humanity is meant to learn, to how the brain, all this research into the brain, but we're just coming back to more ancient practices, you know, oral traditions.
Love it. Wow. So good. Okay. So you were a principal, and then what was the geographic region again? Where was that?
Harlem, New York.
Whoa. Low.
Where I live. I live two blocks from my school, but yeah. And it's my community and I owe Harlem everything that I am today. I am a product of Harlem for sure. All of my ideas are borrowed from people who live in Harlem, let's say.
There's a movie somewhere in there. That had to be so difficult just being a principal in a low-income school system in Harlem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the hardest job on the planet. It's the most complex, let's say. Hard, easy. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you love it, you love it, right? That complexity is what I searched for. I was a software engineer.
Okay.
And that's complicated kind of, but not complex. Designing the software in a big picture, being a designer, that's complex. I was interested in more complex. And so working with human beings is very much that. And for me, naturally working with these kids is, I would do a better job working with these kids than working with more affluent kids. Just my nature, for some reason, I enjoy that. And that dopamine opioid cycle gets triggered more in my brain. So selfishly, this isn't something I did for anybody else. This was my selfish quality of life. Living near a school where I was principal, I thought that seemed to be a life I could lead until I retired.
I love it. So then you retire. Then what happens next?
So I resigned, actually, because I'm not of age to retire. I would need 2030 was my retirement age. I resigned to start a something had started. So I wrote a book, and then this community came together to I talk about an app in the book because I'm about solutions, about, you know, a parent who's always saying no to their kids. No, don't do that. Right. It's loving. They don't want them to get hurt. They're like giving them good, important lessons. But you also want to have a yes in there. Right. Here's, you know, here's what, like, let's jump into this. And so we want to be that yes. Right. In education, where people want to opt out of standardized tests. But what are you opting into? Right. Okay. And so this is project based learning.
By the way, I'm an author, so you got to tell me the name of your book.
Education in the Digital Age, How We Get There. Oh, and it's on Audible also as an audiobook where I read it to you. And so the last part of that book, if you come to our website, hs.credit is the app that's being built. And so you can see that one came from the other. The book, there's a lot in the book that I've learned. The book was years ago, and we've developed, the last few chapters have developed into a lot more detail than I had in the book. And so now the app is launching. It's all student-led. This has to come from the students. Teachers cannot force you to want to learn, right? Yes. So we have to spark something here. And the kids get it digitally because they get that the current system of teaching to the test is broken. And so I think we can engage them. I think students are the ones that get my ideas most easily. So I think there's hope. But if we don't, if we keep training people to think like robots from drop-down lists the way standardized tests train you, we're going to have people that are programmable by AI, you know? And it's not a happy future.
This is the book.
That's the book.
I love it. I love it. This is so good. Wow. So you really talk about some big deals, like big topics, artificial intelligence, you know, this whole robotic thing. I love it. So very cool. Okay, great. So you got the book, you do that, and then what happens?
So hs.credit is the app. If you go to that website, hs.credit, you'll see what this evolved into, that book evolved into. And we're a DAO. I don't know if your audience members will know what a DAO is.
Yeah.
So we're a DAO and we're student-centered. Not .com, just hs.credit.
hs.credit, that's it?
Yeah.
hs.credit, my bad, okay. And then does that stand for
high school?
Okay.
Right. So we're creating a high school. So what I did is work that I did for 10 years at a low income, well, at a second chance high school, kids that were kicked out of other schools. We introduced media, podcasting, video casting into the classrooms. And it had a profound impact on the standardized test scores even, right? And we went from being a failing school to being a top performing school for year after year after year. And the root of that is putting the students at the center of attention, having them be producers rather than consumers, and using digital media as a metacognitive tool for them to have to think through, edit, consolidate knowledge. The brain really works well with that metacognitive piece, and that editing, video editing, audio editing works well. I used audio podcast as a physics teacher and a robotics coach, and you could just see the results. Our robotics team, you know, took first place in New York City over all the private schools and all the other schools. So it's over and over, we saw this approach working, the kids engaging. And the media the kids produce will make you cry 100% of the time. I mean, these kids have such a story to tell. They've got so much deep learning from life because they've had, you know, some interesting, difficult things happen to them. And our young people can fill that hyper-local media market that's so empty right now.
I love this. I already know who I'm going to connect you with in our tribe. I'm
gonna hopefully they're youth. We need youth. Yeah. They're kids. I want whoever that was. I want their kids.
Oh, yeah. No, we do.
Awesome.
So I'm going to just quick show you this woman. We have several people that I'm going to connect you with, but I got to give a shout out to one of our people, Kiara Colson. This will load here in a second. But anyway, you see her?
Yeah, awesome.
So she's 17, 18.
Perfect.
Lighting the world on fire, and
that's the type of leadership. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Those are the leaders. She's leading it. She's already doing it. And this is already happening, right? We're just finding a way for students to get credit. Like our kids in our robotics team, we were there for the build period, 6 weeks. I slept there. I spent weekends there. I wasn't married at the time. So we, we weren't supposed to, but the custodians would lock us into the building at night and we'd keep working through the night in shifts in this, metal shop, machine shop. And those kids didn't get any credit for that work, right? This is the deepest, most impactful. They're like running a company here and they didn't get credit for that stuff, right?
Oh my God.
So this is a platform to give credit for that type of leadership. The kids that after Sandy Hook or, the March for Our Lives, those kids don't get credit for that work. Why not? There should be a platform for them to upload 10 minutes of audio or video, consolidating, explaining what their work is. And should be able to get high school credit for that. That should be more valuable than an essay.
Yes. Look at these people. So a lot of these people are your students?
These are our interns. So the work is done by interns. They're mentored by professionals like myself who have jobs. I work with DOE, retired DOE administrators and current professionals who mentor interns who build the site, who build the whole platform, and hopefully high school students will create all the content.
Wow. Well, I got to tell my audience, folks, if you are listening to the podcast, first of all, thank you. If you're watching the podcast, you already know the domain, but if not, go to hs.credits and you are going to see some incredible things right now. Can you walk us through a little bit? Like if you get some people that say, I'm all in, what are you even doing? What would they do on this page? Or are we too early? Or what would we say?
No. So there are three buttons on the main page. There's a student button, there's an educator button, and there's an institution button. And our platform is built on incentives. Our idea is that you incentivize people. Like if you, look at the incentives, you'll see the outcomes.
Yeah.
Again? Yeah. So it's different incentives for each organization. So if you look at a student, for example, there's now a little chat button at the bottom right. There's a video you can watch. There are, three bullets that you can read. But if you go to that chat button at the bottom, that purple dot, you can enter.
Where is
you see the purple that's floating with you, the bottom right of your screen? Right. Yeah. So if you hit on that chat, it'll have you fill out a survey to participate in our beta testing that's coming at the end of the summer. So you will be the first users, your work will be the genesis block, and you'll be giving us feedback on how to make the website better. What we're doing is launching the website as fast as we can, just not worrying about polishing it up. And you're going to help us polish it up so that your fellow students want to join and want to use this. And this is a student, this is a DAO. So this is really going to be the students that own this as time evolves, as we get more students involved.
Love it. Okay, so that's if you're a student. And now let's go back and say, okay, now it's an educator. The same.
So educators have the potential of earning $150 an hour. That's their main incentive. $150 an hour to evaluate student work. What we are is a transcript. That's all we are. You upload work and it's a transcript where you can click on each credit to see a video or listen to a podcast that the student made for that credit. So you can verify the quality of work on the credit. But before you're even clicking to verify, we have three credit experts who view the work for academic. They're not looking for popularity or for, they're looking for academic skills. That's the same skills that we need in industrial schools to write essays, to think critically, right? It's critical thinking skills. It's research. It's right. Revisions and polishing and basic academic skills. And so when you're looking at a credit on that transcript, you already know it's been vetted by those three credit experts. And those three credit experts are the teachers who make $150 an hour. They're the ones paid cash up front to do the work.
And then
we have, so the idea is that there's a two sides of the platform. The free side, anybody can look at the student work, but you can't tell anything about the students. It's kind of, you can look at the video, listen to the audio and whatever's in there that the student chose to share, but you can't learn anything about them. On the back side, we have what's called an API, a way for institutions to plug in to use our data, right? Just like they'd use testing data, who's getting the highest test scores, what neighborhoods, what schools, what areas and what topics, right? So they're doing that same analysis of our data, but it's project-based data and they're paying for that. And so they're paying for that is what pays the credit experts to grade the work coming in. So institutions, school districts, government bodies, anybody that wants to see where project-based learning is taking off. And I think that's an early economic indicator. If you can measure what communities are teaching their kids to be producers rather than consumers, I think you have an early indicator of who's going to do well in a digital age. And so it becomes like an early indicator of GDP for digital products, for those free products that right now don't get measured on GDP. We think the big vision is that when we get enough data on there and that's flowing properly and people are paying for those API calls to our database, it will have kind of a gold standard academic data. I'm a data guy as a principal. I was always known as a data guy. I'm a physicist by training. So it's all about just gold standard data. So how do we evaluate kids, and how do we have data that instead of paying a somebody at a university admissions officer to read essays and interview kids, they can just look at this. There's 20 pieces of video on the thing that they can get to know the kid. They don't need anything else. And they know those 20 were earned the hard way. So they're head and shoulders above the other kids anyway. And they can write a program to drill down and just give them the kids that they're interested in for what they want their freshman class to look like, right? So it saves a lot of time for universities also. And that's why they pay us for the data, because they can get access to which students they want to recruit. And then the students don't even have to spend that $100 application fee. The university comes to them and says, hey, I think you'd be a good match for our freshman class.
Gee. All right. All right. You're blowing my mind. So what? Okay. You want to, what's your big goal? You want to like shift the way we do all education in the world? I mean, is this like your,
so no, 11th and 12th, very narrow, 11th and 12th grade only. There's only for 11th to 12th grade, but that's the culmination of the K through 12. So if we get that changed, then instead of teaching the test, all the years before us can teach to project-based learning, right? So we're just focusing on 11th to 12th grade, trusting that the rest of the system will flip once we have the high stakes data. It's a matter of who has the high stakes academic data. We want to be high stakes academic data. Our transcript, we want it to be the gold standard high school transcript that everybody wants to get, because some smart principals will realize instead of a few of our, the way we're launching is just kids that are kind of bored. They finish their work early. And so the guidance counselor might say, hey, try to make one of these videos at high school credit. It'll give you an extra edge above the other kids to have this type of transcript. It's really hard to do. You know, there's like 110 hours of work that go into one of these. They're evaluated by three experts who are incentivized to be tough. So it's, you know, you have to really show off. You have to really geek out on something. But if you take it, something you already geeked out with at school, and go further and make a video or podcast about it, you can get some of these credits. Eventually, a principal is going to realize, what if all of my students are aligning with these credits? All of my students will be head and shoulders above everybody else, right? And eventually, the data, we start kind of sidejacking into the standardized testing, and people will see that we just, on a level playing field, competitively, we have better quality data than they have, because they're measuring who's going to think like AI already thinks, and those jobs are gone, right? We're showing you how to think like your own brand, how to have a, you know, how to edit, or if you don't want to be in front of the camera, how to do the work behind the camera to produce, right? So
it's almost type like
of learning that makes sense for this age.
Is it almost like, because you're hitting juniors and seniors, is this almost like a capstone project? This is like their
20 credits. We only have 20, no more, no less. They get 20 chances. Each one takes a month. And so they have 2 months a year that is supposed to be summer vacation, that if they mess up, they can catch up. And that's it.
And they can do this in place of other electives in their state, or what are you thinking?
So right now, this is just going to be kind of to distinguish themselves as academic, as digital natives, to show off their skills. And these videos, I mean, I'm telling you, you'll be moved by them. So there's a human process they go through. Each one is an NFT. That's basically what our transcript is an NFT wallet with these non-transferable NFTs. So they go back when they're in their 30s and look back at that wallet, and they see these experiences like, oh my God, I so remember every piece of that. I remember doing that, because it's an experience that NFT represents. They can go watch the 10 minutes that they created at the end, right? And reminisce. So these are real deep experiences. So what they get is the experience of learning to be a lifelong learner and loving learning and reminding themselves of how much they loved that and what a joy it was to invest their energy in to get something beautiful out.
So it's almost like you're creating with the NFT their portfolio. Essentially.
Exactly. I mean, so we are essentially that, but we have these three credit experts that are paid, highly paid, to evaluate, which other portfolio systems don't have. That's our main, right? We're really making sure that the same way that you counted on standardized tests to have graders and proctors and manage all that for you, we're saying we're going to be high stakes data and show you how we have the incentive set up. And you can, it's all transparent. You can see what's being approved. You can see what's being declined. And teachers then have that incentive to work with students, because if they're successful, it's not if they're successful helping kids get the credits. We don't evaluate teachers based on, because some, if a classroom like I worked in, only one or two of the kids would get these credits. And then at an affluent school, all of them would. So that's not fair that teacher gets a better grade than I. It evaluates teachers based on how well they evaluate the students. So if a student is going to fail, they say they're going to fail, and that's what happens on the platform. Then that's, if they do that accurately, that shows that they know how to evaluate the work. And that's what we're paying them for as credit experts. So it's a normalization rather than a standardization. It's the, you know, crowdsource normalization process that we know of in digital worlds, rather than the top-down centralization and standardization that the industrial world imposed on us.
Wow. This is amazing, Principal Z. What can we do to help? Because, you know, here's one quick idea. I don't know. We have our community gets together at the Igniting Souls Conference. Okay. And this is our once a year thing. It happens in October. Lots of my podcast guests are going to be speaking, quote, virtually. Would you have any of your young people, would that help them if you kind of had a panel with your young people and you presented? And I mean, we have like the Dan Sullivan.
What's the date?
October 21st. 22nd and 23rd, and we can record it in advance. But your young people, it might give them a platform where now they can be like, oh my gosh, we spoke at a Web3 conference on our, I mean, there's, you know, there's crazy big leaders here, but yeah. I want to extend my platform because I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would love that. Of course.
Okay, so you could almost like stage a Principal Z
little podcast session, one episode podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, and you would have your different, you would have your like couple teens speaking too or something.
Yeah, so you would tell me what the, is there a theme to the conference? Is there?
Yeah,
yeah.
The world has changed. So it's called, the theme is bigger than me, bigger than me. The world has changed. Are you still trying to reach your people the same way? And so you could speak from a educator standpoint.
Yeah, reaching
and
the
then
kids.
The young yep. people can speak from a, hey, here's how I'm preparing to go into the job market. I got my portfolio thing going on. I got my NFT thing, my HS.credit, because I know the world's changed.
And I think we should have a few of the DAO members, because these are yes. people that are giving their time. They're professionals. They come home after a hard day's work and they work on this, and they work.
It.
Yeah. So some of them, why are they doing this? Like, what do they see in it? That why are they spending their yeah. free time contributing to this? Yeah.
And here's what the payoff is for you. We blow this conference up big time. So, you know, we'll put your brand everywhere. And then what's cool is, although it's not a massive conference, there's several hundred people that are very big influencers that will then say, oh my gosh, I love Principal Z. I love HS.credit. They need to connect with my XYZ ABC.
Yeah. Our goal is to be the darling nonprofit of the crypto community. That's
love
our goal.
It.
We think the crypto community should be the ones for their image and for their brand. It fits to create a new generation of creators and have that 13 years in school help you be digital native so you understand crypto, right? So that you come to it naturally. It should be in their interest to invest in high school education that works like that. So we want, until we can get the people paying us for that API access to their data, before we have data, we have a nonprofit that accepts donations. Yes. And we need that nonprofit to be kind of priming the pump until we get there. The nice thing is it's the early days, so there aren't a lot of credit, so it's not as expensive. And then we see if we start getting growth.
I love it. This is huge. Okay, can you give me, you said if you watch these videos, you know, you're just going to get emotional. Can you give us one story? And it yeah. doesn't need to be perfect, but give us one story of
sure.
a person with a name, first name only, whatever.
Yeah,
and just,
I can give you hundreds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, I mean, I can give you, there's, I can go to any.
Sure.
It's hard to choose who, but let me just kind of choose one that represents the biggest number. There, I worked for a second chance school, so kids would get sent to me because they got in trouble at other schools, or the other schools didn't want them, or they weren't attending, so they were hurting the school's attendance numbers, which are important. So they would want to get them off their books, and I would take them. And for me, it's in, you know, if I want to increase data, you take the ones at the bottom. It's the easiest, you know, it's the low hanging fruit, and it's these kids that sometimes were smarter than other kids and didn't want to
yeah.
bother with the, you know, with being a clerk in a, you know, being told what to do and fill out worksheets. So we worked with these kids, and there was one group of kids that would come to us, and they couldn't copy a sentence from one page to another. If you wrote down a sentence on one page, they didn't have the literacy skills to copy that sentence onto another piece of paper. It would take them a long time at best to try to do that, right? So really illiterate, pure illiterate. And some of them were from other countries, and they didn't, nobody let them continue studying in their native language. So they just kind of stopped for multiple reasons. But you give these kids a microphone, you make them a podcast host. they are the intellectual center of the school because they've learned to cover up this. And, you know, and a lot of them, we didn't know, they would go to the bathroom when it was time to read. You know, they would skip out on tests all the time, but you knew that you were so smart in class, you thought they were just knuckleheads. You know, like, this kid's so smart, he could just show up and ace the test. But they're knuckleheads because but underneath that, they were just really good at covering up. And so they were brilliant podcast hosts. And they would say, I've never been the center of academic attention before, but they deserved it because they've really learned how to ask questions and listen carefully and make deep connections, right? They're really so those types of students. It's amazing to see what oral traditions, right, which is before pen and paper was a barrier to being evaluated, which the standardized test is here. Now, I think you should learn how to read. And those kids did learn how to read because they wanted to start taking notes and editing the writing, right? They had a desire to do better work in their academic presentation. And part of that is learning to read and write. But the entry point was their natural brilliance. And that's what student-centered learning is all about. You dive in from where the student brilliance is and let it grow and glow and, you know, build from there rather than telling them no, no, no all the time.
Wow, this is good. So you actually gave them a microphone. They became hosts and they
have to edit their work and decide what's important. That's very high level metacognitive learning. I mean, if you ask anybody that evaluates learning on these Bloom's taxonomies, that's the highest level of learning where they're, you know, where they have a vision and a passion and they're creating something to express and supporting their work with data, you know, whatever they need to do to defend their academic position with academic skills.
That is huge. This is good. So the best way we can help you is to extend our platform. You come in, cast the vision, and then for other people in our community to say, hey, in this early phase of fundraising, we need to invest in the next generation. And the return on our investment is going to be that we're going to put into the crypto community and blockchain community and Web3 community incredibly savvy and trained influencers. I love it. I love it. Anything final that you want to say to the crowd here?
I haven't gone to a lot of detail, but so just to get an idea, without going into detail, think of Uber has no cars, Airbnb, right? They have no hotel rooms. We have no schools, but we're a school district, right? A school district of people with a common vision for project-based learning, ancient styles of learning, and high-stakes data based on that. So that's what we're offering.
That is so good. You echo what one of our guests said recently, Sharad, that Web3 is a mindset.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you're talking about. I love the fact that you reference Uber and Airbnb because I've seen that graphic online where the biggest and best companies these days have rethought assets. And you're saying that your assets are not brick and mortar, your assets are
academic capital is what we call the asset. Academic capital. Ooh. Units of academic capital that we're producing. So that's really our mission, is to produce units of academic capital.
That is huge. Okay. This was an absolute blast today. You blew my mind. What a way to start the week. HS.credit.
Such a pleasure.
Check them out. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. And folks, I'm just going to wrap up one quick thing. My team has asked me to share this. This is pretty cool. Just like our last guest, Principal Z, hinted at AI, artificial intelligence. I've had some people go out and create a AI for me. So if you go to carry.personal.ai, carry.personal.ai, this is another past podcast guest, Suman, who came on. And I loved his energy so much, just like I did with Principal Z. I said, how can I get involved? And Suman said, look, we'll create a personal AI for you. And so, folks, if you go to carry.personal.ai, it's absolutely free. But what you can do is you can enter your email. And what will happen is you will begin to interact with my artificial intelligence. My team, especially Tanisha, has gone through tremendous detail to upload all of my books, all of my podcasts, all my blogs. And so now it's scary, but cool. There's someone or something that exists as me online, my artificial intelligence. And as a result, Here's the reason why this is so cool. And I'm glad Principal Z stayed on to listen to this. I'll be really quick. The reason why, folks, is that now I can help more people. In the past, if someone said, Carrie, can I prick your brain? They'd have to fit on my calendar. It would have to work for them, work for me. And it was a big hurdle. Now, 24/7, just like, who knows, maybe Principal Z will get a personal.ai. But you can upload, just like he wrote that great book on Amazon that we showed just a second ago about digital education. Now, as authors and thought leaders, and as bloggers and podcasters, you can upload your memory blocks, and people 24/7 can type in and say, hey, what's your view on this? Or what's the answer to this? And they can get real-time engagement through your AI. Fantastic things. So check it out, even if you're a thought leader. Mine is carrie.personal.ai, or you can just go to personal.ai. Thanks so much, everybody. Stick in with Blockchain Life. This is where we're bringing the most cutting-edge things in Web3. Be a soul on fire. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.